If nothing else were said, if our service had to end right now, enough truth has been sung. And anybody who wants to know God should be able to respond. It is good to look out and to see all of the saints that are here who have come to worship God and to encourage one another with your presence. Those of you who are visiting with us know that you are honored guests. We appreciate your presence. It's always a joy to have visitors to come and to be with us in our services. Having appreciated the prayers and the songs and just everyone joining in to make this a very meaningful worship service for today. We are involved in, I believe, a transforming study. There's no way for me to prepare lessons without being adversely affected in my own life about what I share with you. So the point that I'm making is if nobody else gets anything out of it, I've already been blessed. What I'm talking about from these words of God could not have come from anyone but God. No man would have ever come up with these. Only God. And the beautiful thing about us is that if we put it into practice, you wouldn't have to be asked to do evangelism. It'd be just like that diet where you lost 30 pounds. You couldn't wait to show off and tell somebody. Have you ever noticed people who lose weight when, you know, they have a way of letting you know they lost some weight, amen. Yeah, they gonna make sure you see them, amen, amen. My point is this. If the Lord has helped you, and you know how God has really helped you, you can't help but tell somebody. And so our study will continue. I know Brother Myers did an outstanding job last week on blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. My task is blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. When you think in terms of the turmoil that our world is in, globally, there's war between nations. There's a desire to go in with treaties to try to somehow minimize and bring together nations that are at war. There's a fear of war on our parts. I may not be in war, but I'm afraid that there's a possibility of being attacked, which keeps us in a strait where our world, we don't have peace in the world, and we don't even have peace in our minds. Look at the turmoil in our families. When you have siblings warring against one another, especially when the parents died, the siblings, But anyway, you know what I'm talking about. Even young people know the rivalry between different schools. It's impossible for us not to see that our world is in need of peacemakers. And this is what Jesus brings to the world. He brings a solution to the problems. And when you and I take on discipleship as it really should be, and we have the mind of our Lord, we will make a difference wherever we find ourselves, and we will become tremendous peacemakers. A peacemaker is called a son of God. A peacemaker is called a child of God. Which means that peacemaking takes on the image, the likeness, even the very being of God himself. If you see God, you know God, then peace is part of his makeup. Peace simply means a cessation of war. War ends where there's peace. Where there's peace, there is reconciliation of hostile nations or hostility between individuals. When you say peacemaker, not troublemaker, but peacemaker, to make peace simply means solving disputes. You solve the dispute. You erase divisions. You reconcile differences. You eliminate strife. You silence tongues. You build right relationships. In the Hebrew, they called it shalom, which meant health, wholeness, healing, completeness. When the Jews would meet one another and say shalom, they were saying, no war between us, only health, wholeness, healing, and completeness. Jesus says, blessed, happy are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. A person who is a peacemaker must first, this is point number one, must first have peace with God. And to understand peace with God helps you understand why the author says that a peacemaker is called the child of God or the son of God, because God is a peacemaker. The reason that it's necessary for us to see this is because you and I must imitate God. You and I must be like God. God recognized that there came a breach between him and mankind. Isaiah 59, verse number 1, the arm of the Lord is not short that it cannot save, neither is his ear heavy that he cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sin has hid his face from you, and he will not hear you. The reason is because there is sin between mankind and God, and so God cannot fellowship. God cannot be in a relationship where sin has divided, where sin has brought about disputes, where sin has brought about division. Now, the mere fact that man and God are at odds, and man is the one who has sinned, your sin, your iniquity, not mine, you did it. Reason you and I are not getting along is because of what you did, not because of what I have done. But the beautiful thing about God, and I want you to see God as a peacemaker, is that God recognizes where mankind was and where mankind is. He knows that man has caused a breach between himself and the world. And so therefore, God becomes a peacemaker. If you don't mind, I want you to follow me just briefly. I want to go to Romans chapter 10. I spent a little more time, but I'm going to try to consolidate my thoughts on this point. And I'm not doing it for the sake of time. I'm doing it for the sake of clarity. And so I want you to know that I'm not trying to cut you short. I'm just trying to get you where I need you to be. Amen. Quicker than I did this morning. Now, I want you to go with me to Romans chapter 5. And I want you to see something here, because the word peace is something that God brings about. Notice the Bible says in verse number 1, he says, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have what? Peace with God. But notice now, this peace with God, this animosity between God and man has been erased. Reconciliation has now taken place, but we have peace with God. Our sin has been removed between us and God, but it's through our Lord Jesus Christ. Notice verse number 2, it says, through whom, peace between God and man has come, through whom also we have access, talking about Christ, we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand. Now, the argument of Romans chapter 1 through 3 and verse chapter 4, and when you get to chapter 5, he explains in those first three chapters the problem, and that is that all have sinned, Jews and Gentiles, have broken relationship with God. But he wants you to know that the only way that peace can come between man and God is not through the law of Moses. That's the first point that he's going to make. The law of Moses will not bring about peace between God and man, because the law condemns us. The law does not, it exposes us to our condition. It helps us to see that we are in violation of God's law, but it does nothing to bridge the gap. It does nothing to bring about peace between God and man. If anything, the law only alienates us more from God Almighty. But he makes it known that this peace is through Jesus Christ, but it is based not on law, but it's based on a relationship. It's based on faith in Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ becomes the very element of peace between us and God. That's why the Bible said he is a mediator between God and man. Man is on one side and God is on the other side. Well, who's going to bring peace? Jesus Christ is the mediator. He is, and I'm in 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse number 5. He is the mediator between God and man. And somebody ought to ask, well, why is he the perfect mediator? Why is he the one to bring peace? Because he is God and man at the same time. So Jesus Christ becomes the one that God uses. God becomes a peacemaker by sending Jesus Christ into the world. And you and I now have access. We have a privilege of relationship with God through our faith in Christ Jesus. But here's what I want you to see. Because being a peacemaker means that you and I are going to have to take the Lord's example. Now, in verse number 6, I want you to put this up for me. Romans 5 and verse number 6. And I want to show you something, because God is a peacemaker. And we ought to be glad to know who initiated the peace. God is the one who initiates. If you're a peacemaker, you have to initiate the peace. You have to initiate trying to restore the broken relationship. Verse number 6 says, for when we were still without strength, in due time, Christ, the mediator, Christ, the substitute, died for the ungodly. Watch verse number 7. We're going to move rather quickly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet perhaps for a good man, someone would even dare to die. It's all right to die for a good man, right? All right. But that's not the way your God is. Your God is not in the business of dying for good folk. God is not in the business of dying for a man who, are you with me? But watch what verse number 8 says. But God demonstrates his own love, what? Toward us, in that while we were what? Still sinners.
Christ died for us. Isn't that beautiful? Now watch verse number 9. Now, I want you to understand that he died for us while we were yet sinners, right? So he was able to do something in his death. But I want to show you this next verse. Much more then, having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. Watch verse number 10. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his son. Watch this. Much more, having been reconciled, now that we are friends with God, the Bible said, we shall be saved by his life. So not only was I saved by his death, but now I'm saved by his life. And if his death brought me back in fellowship with the Lord, the mere fact that he lives, I have a greater opportunity to maintain friendship, peace with God Almighty. Isn't that a wonderful concept? Now, I want to go to Ephesians chapter 4. And I want to look at verse number 14. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse number 14. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse number 14. And I'm going to do this very quickly because I think this is very important. For he himself is our what? Who hath made both what? Now, he's talking about Jew and Gentile. Not only did we become, amen, did he affect peace between us and God? But now he has affected peace between man and man. Watch it. Had made both one and hath what? Broken down the middle wall of separation. Now watch the next verse. Having abolished in his flesh the enmity, that is the law of commandments contained in ordinance, so to create in himself, watch this, of one new man from the two. Thus making what? Now I want to underscore, making peace. Making peace. All right? So God is one who what? Makes peace. He's a peacemaker. Are you with me? Now peace won't happen unless somebody makes it. Now, we're not talking about canned biscuits right now. We're talking about somebody who made some biscuits. You got to make them. It's hard to make biscuits. It's easy. Open up a can, stick them in the oven. Peace must be made. God is a peacemaker. You and I must understand, now that we have peace with God because God made peace with us, not because of our initiation, but because of his. Now I want to go to Romans 14, 19, and I'm through with this point. Romans 14, 19, because I got to move to point number 2, which means that you and I must imitate this kind of behavior. Therefore, based on our position in Christ, based on our relationship in Christ, therefore let us pursue the things which what? Watch the word. What? Make for what? And the things by which one may what? Edify another. So, if I am a disciple, if I am one who has the mind of Christ, I automatically know that wherever I go, whatever situation I'm in, I am a what? If I get married, I'm a what? If I take a job, if I go into politics, if I go to the gym, If I go to a sports activity, wherever I show up, if I'm a child of God, I am a peacemaker. Now I want to show you something. Go to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. Now we're going to talk about how to make peace. God has already made it, but you and I are going to have to work at keeping it. Ephesians chapter 4, verse number 1. Ephesians chapter 4, verse number 1. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling by which you were called. All of us have been called to discipleship. All of us have been called to be like God. And if we're like God, then that means that I'm meek. If I'm like God, then that means that not only am I meek, but I'm merciful. If I'm like God, that means I'm pure. I don't have any duplicity in my heart and mind toward folk. I don't say one thing and then do another. I don't tell you I like and then curse you out after I leave you. No, that's backwards. Oh. A person who is a disciple of the Lord, he is a peacemaker. You've been called. You don't wear discipleship unless you know that you've been called. You and I don't decide, well, I would. No, you are. You cannot wear Christian, the name Christian. Cannot wear the name Christian and not understand that I'm a peacemaker. I've been what? Called. If you go to law, that means you've been summoned. Now you tell a judge I'm not coming. Watch the next verse. How do I do this? With how much lowliness? And with what? And with what? Doing what? Verse number 3. What's the word? Endeavoring. That's work. I got to work at this thing. Well, how do I help relationship? I got to work at it. I endeavor to keep the unity of the spirit in the bond of peace. How do I do that? In lowliness, meekness, gentleness, long-suffering. You're talking about forbear. That just doesn't mean I got to put up with some stuff. You know, our world is in trouble now because in politics, politicians don't want to put up with anything. I wish to God that what we are learning from Christ could be taught in Congress. Congress is all torn to pieces, simply because they don't have the right spirit. They don't have the right attitude. They don't understand. They don't understand lowliness, meekness, forbearance. They caught up in racial identity. I wish we could go to Ferguson. We go in as peacemakers. Well, Brother Gibbs, how do we go in there? Don't you know they did this and they did that? No. I understand that's wrong. That's wrong everywhere. But you don't go in with the attitude that I'm all right. You can't be a peacemaker if you think you're the one, only one right. Becoming a little bit too personal. Jesus was a peacemaker. And you and I are going to have to learn to be just like him. Well, let me go ahead and go on and finish. If you're a peacemaker, that means that you have to use the recipe of poor in spirit. You got to use the recipe. In your recipe, it must be some mourning over your own sin and the sins of others. In that recipe, there must be some meekness. There must be some searching after righteousness, mercifulness, being pure in our spirit. Then we'll be able to have the ability to make peace. God is a peacemaker. He says, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind. Philippians 2 and verse number 3. But in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than himself. He said, look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Here it is. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. The Bible said, being in the form of God, he was God. Ain't no doubt about it, he was God. Being means that I exist as God. In the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. He was God. But watch him, I'm a peacemaker. Well, how are you going to make peace? He had to humble himself. He had to take on himself, made himself. Watch the word made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant, coming in the likeness of men. Verse number 8, being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. But I'm glad that that's not where it stopped, because he was able to be highly exalted by God Almighty. So as I move to my last point, I got to make peace. I'm glad that I can make peace in my family. Glad I can make peace on my job. Glad I can have the right attitude to do what God has asked me to do. But now as I close, here's the beautiful thing. He said, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Somebody say, but Brother Gibbs, how can I be blessed? Well, number one, you can be blessed by the reconciling of the relationship. You're blessed when you were enemies, but now you've come together as one, and you put aside all of the animosity, the hatred, the bigotry, and now you're working together, being productive, being successful. That's blessed. That's blessed. But then not only are you blessed in the relationship, but you're also blessed from God. Every one of these ideas of being blessed is something that God gives you, is something that God rewards you with. God will reward you when you are a peacemaker. Well, God, how will you reward me? Well, I'm going to reward you by not only you having peace with God, but now I'm going to give you peace from God. God says, I'm going to give you peace. This peace that God is going to give you is not about relationships between you and somebody else. It's a peace that come to your mind. It's a peace that come to your heart. It's a peace where you are able to go through life understanding that I'm not at war with God. Going through life understanding that I'm not in war with mankind, whatever relationship I find myself in. I understand that I have peace with God. I got peace with mankind. but God is going to give me peace. I heard Jesus promise his disciples in John 14:27. Put that up there for me. And then I want John 16:33. And then we're going to end. Watch this now. In John 14:27, Jesus makes the point. John 14:27. Peace I leave with you. My peace I what? Give to you. Now this is a peace that the Lord says is mine. But I'm going to give it to you. I'm going to give it to you. Not as the what? World gives. Do I give to you? Let not your heart, I'm talking about the mind, be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Tell me, what is it in life that'll let me go through life never being afraid? When I'm in the middle of a storm, what is it that won't keep me from being afraid? When I'm in the middle of a doctor's report and the doctor tells me that I have an incurable disease, tell me, what's going to keep me from being all complicit in mind and all disturbed in mind? What's going to help me to say, thy will be done? Help me to understand what's going to keep me sane when a relationship that I worked hard to bring together and the other person just refuses to come and make it work and they leave. And suddenly you get in the mail that they are divorcing you. And you know that you put your heart, your soul, and mind in it. And you ask yourself, how am I going to make it through? Well, this is where God will give you peace of mind. It's a peace that Paul will say passeth all understanding. God will help you in the middle of trouble where the world can't touch you and the world can't move you from your commitment to Almighty God. Somebody say, well, Brother Gibbs, can you help me? I believe I can. I remember Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They refused to go in fellowship with Nebuchadnezzar and refused to bow down to that golden image. Well, when the circumstances turned against them and they put them in the fiery furnace, a furnace so hot that they said that the ones who put them in, they were burned to death. That's a hot furnace, am I right about it? But you see, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego made it known, King, it don't matter whether you put us in here or not. I want you to know, we will not bow down before your image. And the God that we serve, if it be so, he will deliver us. What kind of calm and collectiveness is that, that you can stand in front of a major monarch and a fiery furnace and be cool, calm, and collected? What is it that makes you be able to be thrown in the fiery furnace? Here's where your blessing comes. When you obey God, Nebuchadnezzar said, didn't we throw three in? And when he looked, he saw four. Am I right about it? And he said, the one that's the fourth one looks like the Son of God. Am I right about it? The reason that I'm telling you this is because when you obey God and you have a relationship with God Almighty, God will guard your heart. God will guard your mind. God will take care of you in every circumstance that you find yourself, that you can have a peace from God Almighty. Help me, Daniel. Daniel thrown in the lion's den, but Daniel didn't worry because he had a peace with God Almighty. Help me, Paul, who was thrown into a Philippian jail along with Silas, but at midnight they are singing and praying to God Almighty. What kind of peace is that? It's the kind of peace that God will reward. God, at midnight, while they were singing and praying, Bible said God sent an earthquake, and the earthquake was so strong that it opened the doors of the prison, and all the prisoners were loosed from their band. That's the kind of God that I serve, is a God that when I have peace with him and I got peace with my brothers and my sisters, I got peace with the world, God will give me a peace that wherever I go, whatever I do, whatever I go through, God will put me in a tranquil, in a mindset that I can bear under anything that comes my way. I know the world may be against me, but if God be for you, who in the world can be against you? Have I read about it? God is a God that will bring sweet peace, sweet peace. It'll help you sleep at night. It'll help you go to work and be able to endure. It'll help you in your family, help you wherever you are. Why? Because that's peace that God gives you. It's peace. It's a blessing. It's a blessing from God Almighty. So you practice being a peacemaker. Be a peacemaker. Since God made peace with you, you make peace with everybody else. You make life better wherever you are. And I guarantee you, your blessing will be that God will give you peace. 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 That passeth all understanding. That's a gift from God Almighty. Now that's my lesson. And I pray that you and I would take the challenge. Be a disciple. Don't get all beside yourself. Thinking more of yourself, bankrupt yourself before God. Yes. Mourn over the fact that I'm not what I ought to be. Meekly give yourself to him. Be merciful to other folk. Be merciful. Seek after righteousness. Purify your hearts and your minds. And I guarantee you that the peace that the Bible is talking about is a peace that will become yours. And you will be called a child of God. Don't you want your marriage to be better? Don't you want the world to be better? Then let's get Jesus' message out to the world. Let's let the world know that we are true disciples of Jesus Christ, carrying out his will wherever we go. He's sweet, I know. He's sweet, I know. He's sweet, I know. Don't you know that song? Can you sing that song? Now he's going to sing it, but you need to come to Jesus. You've heard his word. Believe it with all of your heart. Repent of your sin and confess Christ to be the Son of God, and you'll be buried with him in the water grave of baptism, because he's sweet. I know. Now let's stand on our feet and we're going to sing. He's sweet. I know.
Sweet, I know. He's sweet, I know. Tell me the dark clouds may rise and swell.